was saying, Peter, if you love me, you're going to take care of my sheep. That's how you prove that you love me, is if you'll take care of my sheep. Now, let me just say something. In that conversation, Jesus was talking to a shepherd about his sheep. But I believe if Jesus was talking to a sheep about his shepherd, he would say the same thing. That's what this day is about, is pastor appreciation. And I'm going to tell you something. God always uses a man. God always calls a man. God always calls a woman to lead a group of people. The first pastor was Moses. How many would like that job? 2 million people that was all depressed. And Moses was a good man because God, after they complained so many times, he said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just swallow them up in the ground and get you a new congregation. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not as spiritual as Moses. I might have said, go ahead. And he said, no, don't do that. I might have said, hey, have at it, babe. You know what I'm saying? But here's the deal. The church knows, hear me, the church knows it's the pastor's job to love and protect the sheep. The church knows that, and they should know that. That is the pastor's job. But the church also needs to know the sheep are to love and protect the shepherd.
That's right. Yeah.
I believe Jesus Christ takes very personal how a church treats their pastor.
That's right.
I really do. Romans 13, don't turn there, but Romans 13 tells us to give honor to government leaders, right? Yeah. But listen to this now. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. This is the Amplified Version. Listen to this. Let the elders, that word elder just means pastors, who perform the duties of their office well, be considered double worthy of honor. Now, Romans 13 says give honor to government work to government leaders. 1 Timothy 5, he says give double worthy of honor and adequate financial support, especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says you shall not muzzle an ox which is treading out the grain, and again, the laborer is worthy of his hire. In the Living Bible, it says it this way, pastors who do their work well should be paid well and should be highly appreciated, especially those who work hard at both preaching and teaching. Now, I'm not just making up Scripture here.
All right.
I'm reading the Bible.
Yes.
Now, I know that some tribes have gone out of balance, okay? But we need to bring a balance back that God wants his pastors taken care of.
That's right.
He wants them honored.
Yes.
Romans chapter 10, verse 14 says this, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Now, he's had his shoes on. I don't know how pretty his feet are. But the Bible says how beautiful. You know what he's saying? Those who carry the message of Jesus Christ, take care of them. Hebrews 13, verse 17 says this, be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the condition of your lives and work under strict supervision of God. He's got a strict boss. God takes very serious what happens behind these pulpits. That's why it says many of you don't be teachers. Okay, so it says they work under strict supervision of God. Contribute to them the joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? Talking about your pastoral leaders.
All right.
Now, John 10:11 says the good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep. And we know Jesus was the good shepherd. But he also calls good shepherd to lay down their lives today for the sheep. When Pastor Jason was deciding to give up his career to come and pastor full time, I'll walk through that with him because I had that decision to make several years ago. And we talked about that. We met about that. We prayed about that. And I can tell you, he had a very good career. But he knew God's call always overrides a career. See, a career is what you paid for. A call is what you made for. All right? And so, here's the deal. But I can promise you something. Being a pastor myself, I can promise you something. His career would have provided him a much easier life. And let me talk to you personally about pastoring a moment. Okay? Because everybody expects the pastor to be there for them and to understand what they're going through. But sometimes you got to understand what's going on this side of the pulpit. Okay, and that's why I feel like I could come and speak on behalf of your pastor, whom I do love very much. But pastoring has been my most rewarding job I've ever had. I came out of the corporate world. Pastoring is my most, but it has been the most difficult job I have ever done. 2.5 years ago, I'm just going to be very transparent with you. 2.5 years ago, there was I went through a real hard time. There was an attack, a spiritual attack I was going through. And I went to a counseling center for pastors in Colorado and stayed about a week because I was fighting depression. Ooh, you a pastor? Yeah, me a pastor. Listen, pastoring comes with pressure. It's part of the package. Let me just tell you something. If you didn't know this, sheep can bite. And then the sheep that don't bite, other shepherds want to fight. It's just the truth. Especially if you start growing, there'll be people don't like that. But let me tell you something. You know why I come down here? Because we're better together. See, here's what I remind our church all the time is Christianity's not golf. It's a team sport. We need each other. And so pastoring brings pressure. But let me just say this before I talk more about the pressures. It's also a great treasure. My boss is awesome. Jesus Christ, I could never, ever try to repay him for the grace that surrounds us. Amen. We've already sung about it. But D.L. Moody, many of you have heard of D.L. Moody, a famous preacher back in the 1800s. He became so popular of a preacher that many Americans was trying to get him to run for president. And this is what D.L. Moody said. He said, "Why would I want to step down?" He understood who he worked for. Amen. Now, listen, some of you may be thinking, though, back to the pressures of pastoring a minute. I just don't understand how a spirit-filled person, especially a preacher, could be depressed. Well, let me read you a couple of scriptures here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. And one of the reasons I came here is I want you to be praying for this man. Because, see, Satan goes after the head quicker than he does anybody. Okay, we're going to talk about that. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 says this. "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters," so he's talking to the church, "about the troubles we experienced." Now, this is Paul talking, "in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure." Now, listen to what he says here. "Far beyond our ability to endure." Listen to what Paul says. "So we despaired of life itself." This is what Paul was saying. He was saying there was such pressure on us down in Asia when we was doing ministry that we became despaired of. You know what he was saying? "I was so depressed, I wanted to die." Now that's Paul. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 27. Notice this, Message translation. Apostle Paul, "I've known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, missed many a meal, blasted by the cold, naked to the weather, and that's not the half of it when you throw in, now listen to this, the daily pressures and anxieties of all the churches. When someone gets to the end of his rope, I feel the desperation in my bones." So Paul is saying this, the torture, the hunger, and the cold, and all that without clothing was bad, but the pressures and the weight of the church was worse than all of those put together. There's a lot of pressure that comes. Why? Because Satan hates pastors. Because they're leading people toward the things of God. Isaiah 53, verse 3. Now, that was Paul's bout with depression, if you will. Now, listen to this. Isaiah 53, 3. This is a prophecy of Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. "He was despised and rejected." Listen to this. This is Jesus. "A man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weaknesses that he, Jesus, carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down." You remember, he was human. And it says that our sorrows weighed him down. Now listen, if the great shepherd felt weighed down at times, your shepherd's going to. Do you know what the definition of depression is? If you look it up, it's a heaviness or to feel weighed down. So Jesus Christ himself dealt with heaviness and feeling weighed down. Peter Drucker, a very famous, one of the greatest sought-after business consultants of his day. He was before John Maxwell and all these business consultants we have today. Very, very sought-after, famous consultant. Drucker developed an extensive consulting business built around his personal relationship with top management. He became legendary among many post-war Japan new business leaders trying to rebuild their war-torn homeland. He advised the heads of General Motors, Sears, General Electric, W.R. Grace, and IBM, among any others. So many of those CEOs went to him for consultation. Now listen to what Peter Drucker said in one of his last books after many years of consulting. Listen to what he said. And by the way, he was a secular business consultant, not a church consultant. But listen to what he says. Peter Drucker, the late leadership guru, said that the four hardest jobs in America, and not necessarily in order, he added, are these: the president of the United States, a university president, a CEO of a hospital, and a pastor. Those are the four. Now let me read to you the latest national statistics for the pastoral ministry. This is the latest statistics for pastors in our nation. Here it is. 94% of clergy families feel the pressure of pastoral ministry. 80% of pastors believe pastoral ministry has negatively affected their family. 80%. 70% of pastors constantly fight depression. 7 out of 10 pastors that you meet and shake their hand are dealing with depression. See, the church needs to know about this so we can start praying and encouraging our pastors more. 70% of pastors say they have a lower self-image now of when they first started. 57% of pastors feel so discouraged that they would leave the ministry if they could. 80% of pastors' spouses wish their spouse would choose a different profession. 75% of pastors report severe stress causing anguish, worry, bewilderment, anger, depression, fear, and alienation. Now, this is of last year. As of last year, 1,700 pastors left the ministry every month. Last year. Listen to this. The divorce rate among pastors have skyrocketed. Church, something's wrong. There's an increase in pastoral suicide. One in our state, the state below our state of a very large church, just committed suicide a few months ago. Satan's behind every bit of this. Why? Because he hates the church. So, of course, he's going to hate the shepherds. Listen, Satan goes after shepherds before the sheep. Why? Because he can do more damage. See, if he causes a parishioner to fall, we all feel bad and we hate that. But if he can cause a pastor to fall, it affects all the church. He hurts the entire flock. You see, Jesus said this, in the last days, even the very elect will be deceived. You remember that scripture? Even the very elect will be deceived. So, that's saying that even us who go to church in the last days, if possible, we can be deceived. How do I know we're in the last days? My Bible and watching the news. Let me read you something real quick. Can I finish this up? Listen to this. Matthew 24, verse 3. Jesus departed from the temple area and was going on his way when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to the buildings of the temple and point them out to him. But he answered to them and said, Do you see all these? Truly I tell you, there will not be one stone left upon another that will not be thrown down. While he was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will this take place and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end, the completion of consummation of the age. So they're asking, when are you going to come back the second time? Okay? Jesus answered them, be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you and leading you into error. For many will come in and on the strength of my name, appropriating the name which belongs to me, saying, I am the Christ, the Messiah, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. By the way, we're in more wars now than we've ever been, ever. See that you are not frightened or troubled, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in place after place. I could go into all the science of that, but they're saying earthquakes every year are happening more and more and more. This, you can go and look that up on the science journals. Verse 8, all of this, but the... Now notice this, but the beginning, the early pains of birth pains of the intolerable anguish. So here's what Jesus says. When you start seeing these signs, it's like birth pains, which we call today contractions. I saw my wife had those, and I thank God I'm a man. Anyway, we would not populate the earth. Now listen, here's what I do know about contractions, though. Here's what I do know about birth pains. The closer the delivery, the closer and stronger the contractions become. Have you noticed it, folks? Have you noticed how close these things are happening now, quicker and quicker and quicker? And then he says this, then they will hand you over to suffer affliction, tribulation. They will put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended and repelled and begin to distrust and desert him who they ought to trust and obey, and will stumble and fall away and betray one another and pursue one another with hatred. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many into error, and the love of the great body will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. You have to be blind not to see the sign of the chaos that we see on the news today. Matter of fact, guys, some of the things that we see in these other cities that we're not living in, even the news reporters, you know what they're calling it? Lawlessness. Jesus said, when you see the lawlessness and the birth pains, no. Let me tell you something. I believe he's right at the door. I really believe that with all my heart. Let me go on. Daniel 4, verse 12. Listen to this. Just to prove that we're getting closer, and I'm going to come back why this man right here is so important. Daniel chapter 4, verse 12. But Daniel, see, two books of prophecy in your Bible talk about end times more than any. Daniel and Revelation. That's the two end time books, okay? Now listen to Daniel 4, verse 12, Living Bible. But Daniel, keep this prophecy a secret. Seal it up so that it will not be understood until the end times. Now notice this. One translation says it's the last of the last days. Notice this. When travel and education shall be vastly increased. Now listen to that. He said at the end of the end days, travel and education will be vastly increased. Folks, think about travel for just a moment. We've gone from how they travel in the Bible to today in just 200 years. Think about that. Just 150 to 200 years ago, people traveled the way they did in the Bible. Before the engine, think about this, before the engine, okay, in just the last two centuries, a person covered 20 miles per day on average. 10 hours, if they walked 10 hours on foot. That's not counting mom and kids, okay? So it took 5 days. We're talking just 150 years ago. It took 5 days to go 100 miles. I can get on a plane today and be in China in 17 hours. I'd say that's vastly increased, wouldn't you? And it happened in just the last two centuries. Knowledge. Now that's travel. Knowledge. Has it vastly increased? Think about it. In any area you can think of. Electrical, technical, mechanical, medical. This genetics and DNA. What's caused this vast increase? Let me finish this up. Here it is. Globalization through communication. Now, think about this. Hold on with me. Genesis 11, verse 1. We're going to come back to Pastor Jason, okay? But Genesis 11, verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there, and they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, they had asphalt for mortar, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the towers the Son of Man had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now notice this. Now nothing they propose to do will be with help from them. Now listen, this was not about a tower. We talk about the Tower of Babel. God wasn't against their tower. He was against their desire for power. Listen now. See, they weren't satisfied with being like God. They wanted to become God. That's why they said, we're going to make a name for ourselves. They wanted into what I call the God zone. Now listen, God himself said they can do it because they were one. He said, because these people are one and they have one language, they can do, God said this, they can do anything they want to. Why? Because see, we're created in God's image. That's a lot of power when you put it all together. So what did he do? Verse 7, come, let us go down and there confuse their language. They may not be understand one another's speech. The Lord scattered them abroad from over the face of the whole earth. They ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the earth. From there, the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. So listen to this. To keep us out of the God zone, he scattered us, mixed up our languages, scattered them. Listen, however, how did this happen in the last 200 years? Through travel and communication, we're back to globalization. And we've become one again. Now, some great things have come out of that. Some scientific advances, some technology. But guess what? We're not okay with that because we're human beings. Now listen. So, it's become a blessing in some areas. However, wanting to step back into the God zone. What do you mean? Genetic manipulation. Yes. Can I tell you cloning was never God's idea? He's not okay with that. Yes. Do you understand? And you can go read this stuff. But now, if a couple decides to and have got enough money, they can go to a genetic doctor and they can pick out their baby's sex, eye color, and everything else if they choose to do so. See, that's the God zone. Yes. But God said if the people become one, they can do that. Now, guess what they're working on now? Eternal life. What? One scientist have already, go read it in the scientific journals, I've done this. One scientist claims that he has found the gene to reverse the aging process. He has found the gene. And you know, oh, they could never do that. Yeah, and my granny in the 60s said they'd never go to the moon. God himself said that they can do whatever they purpose to do if they become one. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. So what's God going to do now? There's nowhere else to scatter. What, are you going to put some on Mars, some on Pluto? No, he's coming back. He's coming. Why? Because he's not going to let us get in the God zone.
Yes.
Now, so what has that got to do with pastor appreciation? Back to another sign of the end of time. Remember what I told you? It says in the very end, even the very elect will be deceived if possible. The Bible says good people, God's people in the church will be deceived. So how do we make sure that we're not swindled sheep? Sincere shepherds. It is so important in these last days that you've got the right shepherd, because if not, you'll get deceived with the rest of these people. Listen to this, 2 Timothy 4:1. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he comes to set up his kingdom, and it's happening very quickly. Preach the word of God. He's talking to preachers. Preach the word of God, not the Reader's Digest. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct and rebuke and encourage your people with good teaching. What's good teaching? Bible teaching. For a time is coming, it's here, by the way. A time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires. They will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. Folks, it's not coming. This is happening right now throughout our nation.
Yes.
There is an explosion of erosion of the truth.
Yes.
Listen to this prophecy. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In our nation, they are suppressing the truth in our school systems and everywhere else. And the Bible says the wrath of God is going to be released. Acts 20, verse 26. Listen to what Paul says. We're headed to the runway right now. Acts 20:26. I declare today that I have been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault, for I did not shrink from declaring all that God wants you to know. So guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood, over the, of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders. I know that false teachers like vicious wolves will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock. Even some men from your own group will rise up, listen to this, distort the truth to draw away a following. Folks, this is happening everywhere. I have watched preachers on TV. Listen to this. You can go back and read the transcripts. I've watched preachers on TV being interviewed. Christian preachers, are you one of those that say you're a fundamentalist, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? And I heard a teacher that a lot of the church listened to, and he said, I'm not going there. If you're not going to go there, don't go here. That's the truth. They're getting on TV and they're saying, I'm not going to say that Jesus is the only way. Well, what do you think about marriage? Well, I'm not going to go there. Hey, if you don't want to go where the Bible goes, then go do something else, sell cars or something. But don't preach the Word of God. But listen, he said the last days this was going to happen. Preachers and churches, listen, are turning. See, here's what we got to understand, guys. The Bible, God doesn't want this book edited. It's done. It's done. He doesn't need any proofreading. He doesn't need any editing. And here's what I tell our church. This Bible is an owner's manual, not a menu. And a lot of people say, well, I'll take some of that, but hold that. No, you take it all or you don't take none of it. So let me end with this. I know some pastors personally whom I love, but I've seen start to compromise in some of these areas. Pastors whom I know longer than Pastor Jason. If they were having this at their church, I wouldn't go there. Not because I'm too good, but I'm going to tell you something. I can't endorse someone who's going to lead sheep astray. So I just want you to know that it is an honor for me to come down here and endorse this man and say, you guys have got a good shepherd. You guys have got a good shepherd. I truly believe he is the real deal. And here's what I would like to do. And I just felt led to do this. But if Pastor Jason, if you would just come right here, and then I'm going to turn it back over to who I'm supposed to turn it over to. But I want to do this in both of them, but I want to pray for him. And if any of you elders would just come up here with me, would you please, any of the elders come up here, and I just want to...